Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Minutes on the timer, and the subject is Twitter.
Yeah, I have a weird relationship with Twitter. Like, I'm acutely aware of how important it is for the work that I do and the work we both do, but I find it really it doesn't have a positive impact on me. I'm not a better person for having Twitter. I wouldn't say I'm happier for having it, but it's sort of like a necessity. I perhaps would even consider not having Twitter if it wasn't for the other podcasts and this podcast that we produce. What do you think?
I always admire your approach to Twitter. I think you are very good at just switching off and using it for what you need and being really disciplined with that.
Yeah.
My relationship's a bit more nuanced, I would say, because I love it. I absolutely love the engagement and conversations, and I've made some great friends on there. And there are people that I only keep in touch with on Twitter, and like I like hearing what they have to say about things and seeing their tweets, and it makes me happy. The problem I have is that I tend to, like, I've only got one Twitter account, so it's just my football Twitter account. I've only really tweeted about football until recently, where I've kind of done some anti-racism tweets, which is a whole other story. what that means is, I mean, I've now built up a significant following who have an expectation of the type of content that I'll deliver. And if I go off piste, I get into trouble, and it's not fun. And I kind of, in many ways, I would love to go back to Twitter of 5 or 6 years ago for me, where I had a much lower following and had really, really fun interactions.
For people that don't know, because not everybody listening to this will know, you have a Twitter account which is based around Tottenham. It's called Windy Coys. Coys for coming, you Spurs. And it's massive. It's, you're in, what, 40,000 now?
Yeah, 43,000, something like that.
Right.
So that's, it's grown way beyond what I ever imagined it would.
Yeah, that's massive. But what has happened, Wendy, as you just explained, is that what you can tweet and when you can tweet it and how you tweet is completely defined and by your massive audience. And like you say, when you go off piste, you get in trouble. Have you ever considered having a personal account that isn't related to Tottenham?
Yeah, I often consider that, and I consider how I would use it, whether I would have a locked account, which could be an option for me. I think the problem is, my girlfriend would say that I'm already addicted to Twitter. I am addicted to Twitter in many ways. I really enjoy using it, and I compulsively check it for information. And that's partly because I'm looking at responses to my tweets, but mainly, to be honest, because I'm using it to look at news information. So I use it for football, but I also use it for news, because you hear actual news, like you hear people's versions of events that don't get reported in mainstream media. So I find it really useful from that perspective. So having another Twitter account on top of the two I've already got, my Windy Coys one and also the Extra Inch, which is my other podcast, I think third one would probably cause problems.
Yeah, I can understand it. And I can understand why people get addicted to it. And because you get addicted to people reacting to things that you've done.
Yeah, 100%.
It feeds into, it's perfectly built to feed into the ego, which is why it's so popular, which is why you get such extreme opinions on it. And I think like Twitter is an incredibly powerful thing, and it's an important tool to be on the internet for people to be able, within the realms of decency, to say what they want to say, what they believe. But the problem is anybody can. And it's only recently that you know, people are starting to get banned outright, and it's only very famous people that seem... Well, actually, no, it's not true. People do get banned all the time or suspended for like things like hate speech, but it's so easy just to set up another account. And what it does, my biggest problem with is it really opens the Pandora's box of what human beings are feeling. And that can be exhausting to read and absorb. It really, really can. And it also... it gives a false perception of what the wider society is thinking as well, which is dangerous. And we've talked about this about elections, and in particular, the general election in England last year. Was it last year? It feels like last year.
It was last year, wasn't it?
So everything's a bit screwy at the moment, isn't it? But you genuinely thought Labour had a chance, and then it was probably the most biggest landslide victory ever. Mm. For a Tory, well, since Thatcher, maybe. What do you make of all that?
I think the nature of Twitter, the fact that it limits you to a number of characters, encourages you to sort of do away with any nuance or grey and come down on subjects in a very matter of fact, black and white way, and that is problematic in terms of genuine discourse. But it also means then you get factions appearing. So people who think this way on one subject might then become embedded in a community which think the same way on another subject, and then another subject, and another subject. And before you know it, you've got this kind of growing body of people who have decided that this is their view, because in a way Twitter's encouraged them to have a more definite view one way or another. And they've had, like you say, the agreement from the masses, which feeds the ego and it starts kind of making them think, oh, I must be onto something here. And before you know it, you've got an extreme right and an extreme left, and a smaller group of people in the middle who just want to have a nice life and agree on some subjects and disagree on other subjects.
Yeah.
It's really difficult.
It is difficult. And I also find that people become much more steadfast in what they believe. Yes. It's so much so that I'm not 100% sure that people actually believe what they're tweeting, but they know that if they're being as inflammatory as possible, or as black as white, or as, you know, not allowing any nuance to discussion, that this is what I believe. I hate Muslims. They're responsible for all the bad things that are happening in England, and they've got to go, right? It really, if you talk to someone who believes that in real life, face to face, there will be nuances to their beliefs, and you will be able to find some understanding of why they think the way they do, which is important, why they think the way they do. You would be able to do that, but you can't on Twitter, because it, like you say, it's 140 characters, and people are doing tweeting most things for reaction. And some people even going out their way just to get what they call is a bang, something that bangs, that gets numbers.
It goes viral,
yeah, is proper, I guess, the correct definition. And so they will say things and do things that could be horrible or nice that they don't truly believe, but people believe that's who they are. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, there's this movement at the moment, which I think is so disgusting and poisonous, and I hate it, of really pretty girls saying something really vacuous and vile about men, because they know it will get an explosion in reaction. Firstly, it's a pretty girl, usually got their big ass out or something like that. And then they'll say, I'll never date a man who doesn't own his own car. Don't at me, or something like that.
Yeah.
Which creates, in itself, is doesn't mean a thing, right? It's just someone's stupid opinion. But creates a feeling in young girls that look up to these And men as well. Men to feel inadequate in this instance, or get defensive and start arguing, but create a really unhealthy view of what a relationship should be. And a Twitter account with a lot of followers and a lot of influence can cause a lot of damage. And that wouldn't get banned off of hate speech, is it? That's not hate speech, that's a girl's opinion, but it is at times a very influential one.
Yeah, and the other thing that we need to remember is that lots of tweets are not genuine. They're paid for by brands, by companies who want to influence in certain ways. And sometimes it's easy to forget that that happens. I mean, because most people don't get offered money to tweet views or adverts or whatever, it's easy to forget that that does happen quite regularly. So I'm sure that more of what we see on our timelines is manipulated than we realise by outside forces, as it were.
Well, the algorithms as well. Yeah. So you have a blue tick, right, next to your name. For those that don't know, it means you're verified. It often happens. In the past, it's happened if you're getting spoof accounts come up about you, so you need and you're famous, you need a blue tick so that people know it's actually, that's the person who's, the real person who's talking. But Wendy has a blue tick, which means that if I'm talking about Tottenham, our football club, and he's talking about Tottenham, if we're talking similar tweets, to people outside or not following, his account will get pushed and mine won't. This isn't me being bitter, by the way. I'm just explaining how this works. Because Twitter understands that people are more likely to want to listen to someone who is famous or who has a personality. And it better suits them. It better suits their engagement. It keeps people on this site longer than Dave from Dagenham, who has 600 followers and doesn't have a blue tick. It's not in Twitter's best interest to push that content. It's in its best interest to push Wendy's or whoever it is, and paid for tweets. So, it's not. You can find those tweets from people if you really go looking. But what would drive you to want to listen to Dave from Dagenham when
you can listen to Chris Miller from Hemel Hempstead?
Exactly that. Exactly right. And it's not a problem, but it's...
It's not a level playing field, is what you're getting at.
No, and that's the thing with Twitter, is a private company. It's not... But I think people think that Twitter there's like... It's almost like it's a national product. It's a national service. Mm. It's a private company that's there to make money. And, you know, and a lot of people bang on about free speech on Twitter. I demand my free speech. When do you ever go into a private company and demand free speech or demand to stand there? Like, it's like going into Harrods and going, it's my right to stand on this in the middle of your doorway. It's not. It's private property. It's their right to kick you off. They own it. You don't. It's the same with Twitter. You can't say what's your right. It's my right to tweet what I want, when I want. It's not. They own it. You're on their platform. They own you. While you're on it, they own you. They own your data, they own your figures, they own your audience, they own you.
Be fair, Twitter are incredibly tolerant. I mean, it took them a hell of a long time to ban Katie Hopkins. And for my money, she was tweeting hate speech for many years before she finally lost her platform.
Correct.
So they allow people, they give people enough rope, basically.
Yes.
And they are, in some people's eyes, too tolerant. They wait too long and allow too much hate speech to go unchecked. It's difficult either way, isn't it? Because if they remove the platform, people say that people aren't allowed to have free speech and that the media is being controlled by left-wing forces or right-wing forces, depending on what side of the argument you're on. And you kind of lose, in inverted commas, in that way. But you can't just... Some of the stuff Katie Hopkins says is... Beyond, I mean, it's absolutely abhorrent.
Yeah,
and there's no fact or anything that backs any of it up. It's just her vile opinion that she's tweeting to make money.
That's her job. Yeah, that's her job. It's a horrible way to make a living, but that's her job. I know, and if you speak to her, I'd imagine there would be, again, nuances. and you could actually
she'd probably be a bit more moderate.
Of course you would. But that doesn't serve her purpose. And lovely, luckily, she's been deplatformed because it's damaging, the stuff that she's saying. But imagine, so you can take the Fighting Cock Forum, which is the other podcast we produce, right? The Fighting Cock Forum is owned by us, right? And just for the conversation. It's owned by me, right? So I have my idea about what is right and wrong and what can be said and shouldn't be said. That those are the parameters. I own it. That's if you don't want to go into the forum, go to another forum that will allow you to say what you want to say. And it's the same with Twitter. Whatever their political leanings are, is going to influence the what is and isn't allowed on Twitter. And as you say, they are very lenient. There is some mad stuff on there, and they don't actively seek it. They wait for it to be reported.
Yeah,
don't
definitely.
They don't go out looking for people that are being racist or... You know what else amazes me about Twitter, Wendy, is the amount of porn on it.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Look, there's tits and fanny everywhere. Dicks, if you want to find them.
Is it allowed to be on there?
Yeah. Yeah, you just... when I mean, I'm not sure you want to do this. I'm just for scientific purposes, just open up to it on your phone and just type boobs.
Do you get any warning at all?
Let me do it because I literally don't care. I'll do it. Right, I'm going to write big boobs.
Just thinking, if a 12-year-old is scrolling...
Absolutely. All boobs are beautiful, but I'm just, in this instance, typing big boobs for the sake of the scientific process. And there we have it. Boobs.
Big ones. Did you get any warning?
No warning. Oh, there's no result. Oh, hang on. No, it's true. I've been protected from sensitive material. So that's quite good.
So you have to then click through another layer.
I don't want to be sensitive. I want to see the boobs. Yeah, you have to look for another lab, but there's nothing stopping you from changing your address. Anyway, my point...
Can I just 15 minutes, you're up. In prime boob chat as well.